Amen. Psalm 57, Psalm 58. I'm going to read both of them. Like it or not, I'm going to read both of them. Psalm 57 and Psalm 58. I want to talk to you. A while back I was preaching and I come across some, I'm preaching through Psalms, you know, and I kind of touched on this idea a little bit. I want to expound on it tonight more. And I got the idea really from, and I told you then, from Brother Jason Coley. He preached a sermon one time and somewhere out of the New Testament, and he preached on us and them. And the us being the saved ones and the them being the unsaved, you know. And he, of course, he preached a wonderful about 45-minute sermon on it. It was glorious. But tonight I'd like to kind of compare scripture with scripture. And the Bible says do that. That we're to compare scripture to scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, he says. Psalm 57, we'll read us. Psalm 57 is us, okay? Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Now, that's what they need to read at the White House.
Amen.
I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You see that? I like that. For me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, that means rest in that. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are as spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. You ever felt like that? Boy, I have. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens.
Yeah.
Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Amen. I've told you before, if you'll wait long enough, all that stuff will come back on people. Every bit of it will come back on them. They'll reap what they sowed. They might have dug that pit with their tongue for you, but it's going to turn around and come back on them. You watch what I tell you. Amen. Verse 7, my heart is fixed.
Amen.
Amen. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Amen. Ain't you glad your heart got fixed one day? You didn't have to try to find something to fix it and make it feel better anymore. Amen. Yeah. He said it twice. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I worry about people, say the Christians, that won't sing and give praise. Amen? Amen. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. In other words, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. And so I'm going to sing that to everybody. It's funny how you can't only find a Christian nowadays in this mess. And for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. In other words, he's got so much grace you can't get over it. Amen. You just can't get over his grace.
Right.
For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Yeah. Now, most people think that the book of Psalms is just a song book full of praise. And there's a lot of praise in this book of Psalms. When we think of judgment by God and things like that, we think of Proverbs. But the Psalms has a lot of judgment in it too. It's just people don't like them enough to quote them. They don't like to quote judgment. They only want to quote blessings. Amen. So That's where we are. As believers, that's us. He's been merciful to us. He's become our refuge. He's the one we trust in. He's the one we cry unto. He's the one that sends from heaven to save us from reproach. Yeah. He's the one that our soul is among the lions and he brings us out. He's the one that should be exalted in the heavens. He's the one that when they prepared a step for our, a net for our steps, he bowed down and helped us. He's the one that fixed our hearts. He's the one we sing to and give praise. He's the one that we wake up to and give glory and sing with the psaltery and the harp. And he's the one that we praise among the people. He's the one that we sing about among the nations. He's the one that great is his mercy unto the heavens and his truth unto the clouds. He's the one that's going to be exalted, and he's the one that's going to have glory above all the earth. Amen. Now that's a psalm that most people would like. But then we go to chapter 58. In chapter 58, it's them. Psalm 51 through 58, if you'll go back and read it and read the life of David, David asked God for deliverance. And David praises God before he even gets to deliverance, that God is going to give it to him. And then after God gives it to him, he praises him some more. And we'll do the same thing. If it wasn't for his delivering power, we'd all be in hell right now. We'd be burning with the worst of them. Amen. And such were some of you, Paul said. Amen. Don't ever look down on people. It's just grace of God. You ain't in those shoes. Amen. Feel sorry for people. Have compassion on people. Now, you don't have to participate with what they do, but you can feel sorry for the mess they in. Amen. Yeah. And pray for them. Love them. but right here it describes the wicked. And he asked God to judge them. And wait a minute. Don't stop there. Destroy them. Now, you know, there's a time that a believer can ask God to remove somebody if he has to. And I've seen God do it. I've seen him judge people and remove them. I've seen him do it. And Paul even warns us about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When people were being hypocritical, they wasn't really saved. They were taking part in the Lord's Supper and defaming it and polluting the Lord's Supper. And he warned them. He warned them about God's judgment. Now listen, we want everybody to love us. We want everybody to love Jesus. We want everybody to know that God so loved them, he gave his son to save them. But you know, there comes a time you have to remove yourself and say, God, I'm getting out of this, and Lord, you got to get in on it and judge this thing. And that's where our nation is now. I think we're at a point of judgment right now. Yes. I believe this election is going to decide how God judges this nation. I really do. And there's nothing wrong with praying for destruction of God's enemies. Do you think that the Jews were praying that God would deliver the Nazis? No, sir. They're praying every day. They're reading this psalm I'm about to read to you. Let's read it. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O you sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. You see what he's saying? He's describing the wicked. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You ever notice that? There's some people just wicked. They've always been wicked and vile and ungodly. I tell you what, I was reading some articles today by these young people who are now in their 30s and 40s, who their parents did that transgender thing on them and made them take the hormone treatments and made them get surgery to change them from a boy to a girl or a girl to a boy. And now these young people have grown up and they hate their parents for it. They say, or whoever did it to them, some social workers or something, you know. And look here. There's some wicked people. Amen. And they'll hurt you. And they'll laugh about it while they're hurting you. They'll destroy your reputation. They'll destroy your home. They'll destroy your health. They'll destroy everything you got. And laugh the whole time they're doing it. Now, we don't want anybody to go to hell, but there comes a time that David began to recognize this crowd. He said, they were born that way, wicked and vile, and they've been that way ever since. He said, they speak lies as soon as they're born. Verse 4, they're poisoned. It's like the poison of a serpent. These people will poison your life. They're poison as the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stopped her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. They're wicked. They're twisted. They're not people you can deal with. God must deal with these people. We got some politicians in Washington right now. God's got to do something. Trump's tried to be good. He's tried to include them in on everything he did, and they turn around twisted by the way, our church pulpits are full of these people. Our colleges are full of these people. Our universities are full of these people. Our seminaries are full of these people. Wicked. Vile people. They get up in the morning telling lies, and they go to bed at night telling lies, and they don't care who it hurts. Look what he said in verse 6. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. You see what he's saying? He's comparing these people to a fierce lion. And he says, break out their teeth. Break out their teeth. Now, let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. He said, Lord, get rid of these people, melt them away, do whatever you got to do. And when he goes to shoot somebody, don't let it happen. Just destroy that arrow. Destroy it. Look what he said. Let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. You ever melted a snail? You put salt on him. You ever done that? You know what? We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. If we put a little salt on those people, throw some scripture on them, be Christians. They'd melt away. They wouldn't bother you no more. They'd just slither off and melt away. And you wouldn't have no problems out of them. The problems that we have with these wicked people is we don't pour the salt on them. We keep throwing sugar at them, and we think that's going to fix them. That ain't going to fix them. We keep pouring honey on them and trying to fix them. We can't fix them. They need to get melted, man. They just need to be salted and melted like a big old slug right there. And by the way, that's an ugly thing. That's an ugly picture. These people are an ugly picture. Amen. But then he goes farther than that. Now remember, David's praying about his enemies. He's not saying, Lord, save them and make a great Christian out of them and call them to preach and put them in the ministry. He's saying, Lord, kill them. Melt them away like a slug. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something before we're going farther. Everybody ain't going to be saved. I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody doesn't want to be saved.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody can't be loved. Because some people don't want to be loved. Now, only God can change that heart. And, of course, we pray that God will. But if he doesn't, we say, now, God, remove them. Just get them out of the way. Whatever that means. Remove these people from my life. Amen? They'll hurt you. And they'll butter you up and just pat you on the back and rub your little head. And the whole time they got that knife down there ready to throw up in that filth rib. And you try to be good to them, and then they'll run over and tell the other crowd, hey, She ain't nothing. She's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite, just like the rest of them, and run you down. Then when they come to you, they expect you to love them and butter them up and all. Jesus never did say that when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. You are supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to take what they have and all those things. But he didn't say tolerate that wicked neighbor. Sometimes you got to pray for that neighbor. God, if you can't fix them, just remove them. It used to be preachers preach like that. Now, you're not going to hear this on Joel Osteen. You're not going to see it at Rick, whatever his name is over there and all that stuff. But it used to be preachers stand up and they just point their finger out at somebody in church and say, you need to get right with God. God's going to kill you. I'm telling you, God's going to kill you. I've seen old Jason Coley walk up and down the aisles of Independent Bible Baptist Church screaming and hollering and pointing out sin and telling people. And man, I mean, he just stopped at one little boy who's the pastor now. Stopped at him and told him he had one of those queer earrings in, you know, and told him to get rid of it and take it out right there in church. That boy took it out right there in the church. People wouldn't put up with that anymore. But David said, oh, listen, Lord, remove them like a snail that melteth, and like every one of them to pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. In other words, like a woman who gave stillbirth and the baby was born dead. He said, Lord, let these people be as they were never born. Get rid of them as an untimely birth of a woman, and that they may not see the sun. In other words, they may not see another day. See, we've gotten so busy trying to get everybody in the church that we forgot that God is also a God of holiness and righteousness and judgment. Now, in Psalm 57, David's talking about us, talking about God's children, those who have cried to the Most High, those who know Him, those who sing His praises, those who try to please Him. But in Psalm 58, he's talking about the wicked. By the way, they'll destroy you. Look at verse 9. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away. As with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. In other words, he said before, do you know what he means? Those pots, before they can feel the thorns, they would gather up thorns and put them up under that coffee pot and light them. And that's how they would cook on those little briars and thorns and all that. Not a lot of trees over there. And he said, before your pot can feel those thorns, before they're ever lit, he shall take them away with the whirlwind. He's going to take everything you got. He's going to take your sustenance. And he's going to take it away, both living and his wrath. And then look at verse 10. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance.
Yeah.
Now listen, I don't mean hate to anybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't mean hurt anybody.
Right.
But sometimes when God removes the wicked, we rejoice. That's right. And the Bible says when the wicked are in power, we weep.
Amen.
But when the righteous are in power, we rejoice.
Right.
Now you listen to me. We'll not hate people. We'll not tell people that we wish they were dead. But when God removes people and we're free from that burden and that persecution and those attacks and all that stuff, we've got a right to feel a little relief. Amen. Talking about, there's a preacher over here talking about Mordecai getting even, you know. Amen. That's another sermon. We'll get to that. He said, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance of who? The vengeance of God on these people. Now look, we got to understand everybody's not like us. This is them, not us. And everybody doesn't, they don't believe like we do. And some of them hate what we believe.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And because of that, they hate us. And we don't hate them. We want them to go to heaven. But when God removes that crowd because they're trying to destroy the church and they're trying to destroy saints and they're trying to destroy the nation and the righteousness of a nation, then we ought to be able to rejoice. Do you think that the Jews didn't rejoice when they heard that Hitler got killed?
Right.
Sure they did. I think the angels of heaven rejoiced. Amen. Do you think when old Stalin died and he killed 50 million of his own people, that you want communism? There it is. All right. Stalin killed 50 million of his own people. And do you think that his nation did not rejoice the day that that man kicked the bucket and died? Sure did. I bet some of them was having a party. Amen. 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 Listen, there's some wicked, wicked people in this world. And God's got to get rid of them. We can't. Turn to Revelation 19 for just a minute. Revelation chapter 19. Talking about the righteous rejoicing at God's vengeance.
Yes.
And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged, look at that, avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Amen. What a blessing. Listen, believe it or not, the God that is of the Bible, that is of love and peace and grace and truth, is also the God of the Bible that is of judgment. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He'll judge. He will. God will not wink at sin. He judges our sin. He judges the sins of the world. He judges the wicked sin. And thank God I'm under the grace of God that when he judges my sin, he does it through the blood of Jesus Christ. He don't see me. He sees his son because it's paid for by his blood. But when he sees the wicked sin, there's no blood applied to that. There is no Christ in that. There's no Savior in that. And God judges them, see. And we see that. And if you think God won't judge people and kill them, we're studying the book of Revelation. By the time tribulation period's over, over half the people on planet Earth is going to be dead.
That's right.
Dead through the judgments of God. Amen. Amen. God, hey, God's not some little Santa Claus sitting up there waiting to answer your every little prayer. No, sir. God's righteous and holy and he judges. And thank God I'm not one of them. I'm in the us in the previous chapter. Amen. Thank God I'm not one of them. The righteous shall rejoice when they seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Now, my goodness, how much stronger could you get? He's going to wash. God is going to walk. There's going to be so much blood on planet Earth and that God is going to walk and it'll cover his feet in the blood of the wicked. And what does God require for sin? Blood.
Amen.
And the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. Amen. And God's judgments are righteous and holy.
Yes.
And nobody can tell you any different. People say, well, I don't like the God of the Bible. He's too mean. No, he's not mean. He's loving. He's gentle. He's kind. But if you refuse that, then you're going to get the judgment of God. Amen. Because he is righteous. He is holy. And unrighteousness and unholiness can't go to heaven. Amen. Can you imagine if these crowds now, they got these preachers with long robe on and he's got this sash with the rainbow on it, you know, and has LGBT on it and he talks a little bit funny, walks a little bit funny, and he's got a church full of men marrying men and women marrying women and all this cross-dressing and transgender and all that stuff. Can you imagine God looking down at that and saying, oh, I like that?
No.
No. No, God looks down at that and said, that's a twisting of my scripture. That's not what I mean when I talk about love. I'm going to judge that. And you go ahead and you have your good time because this is the best time you're ever going to have. God judges it. Verse 11, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. I'm glad, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not, hey, in my own, I have very little righteousness on my own. And what I've got, if I recognize it as righteousness, then it becomes unrighteousness because it becomes pride.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Amen.
But thank God for, I have the righteousness of Christ in me and on me. It's His righteousness that I walk in. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And thank God He says that, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Thank God. Look, this is the worst I'm ever going to have it too.
Amen.
This is closest to hell I'm ever going to get.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. And one day I'm going to wake up on the other side where everything's pure and holy and beautiful and righteous. And that'll be my reward right there. Amen. Because after you get born again, you love righteousness and you hate evil. And if you don't hate evil, I don't think you're saved.
Amen.
If you don't hate wickedness, I don't think you're saved.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about what they practice.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But verily, there's a reward for the righteous. That's us. Now, here's them. Here's them. Verily, He is a God that judges in the earth. Payday someday.
Amen.
Payday someday. Thank God. Listen, I'm glad I learned a long time ago that I can't have vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
But He will have vengeance.
Yes, sir.
God will have vengeance. He'll pour out His judgment on this planet. And thank God, sometimes, like David, I can pray and say, Lord, remove these people from me. They're a bunch of lying thieves, and they're like lions, and they want to hurt me and hurt everybody I love. God, remove them, whatever that means. And He may move them to another town. He may get them sick or something, or He may just kill them. He might do that. I don't know. I don't know. But I know this, God protects me because I'm His.
Amen.
Now, I'm not killing nobody. Don't misunderstand and say different on the internet. I'm not killing anybody. I don't even own a gun. I don't. I got a baseball bat beside my bed.
Amen.
And I'm 6'3" and I weigh about 215 pounds. I think I can make that bat feel better than worse than a shotgun blast. I think if I hit you over the head with that, that might be your last hit. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. But there's some wicked people in this world that hate us. And it's them. Because they hate God. Now, Timberly, they can't get to God. So they get to me and you. They go after me and you. And they hate us. Now, I tell them, I don't hate. I've told people before that hate me. I said, look, I don't hate you. I could be the best friend you ever had if you let me. But if you keep doing this, I'm not putting up with it. I'll leave you, I'll get away from you, or I'll run you off or something, but I'm not, and I'll pray God kill you.
Right.
Oh man, I didn't get many amens on that.
Yep.
But remove them. He said, remove them. Get them out of the way. Smell them like a snail. Burn them up. Now, I don't go around pointing to people, God kill you, but I'm saying this. If a man or woman mess with your family or your children,
all
right. This Biden stuff, now the man's done been accused of molesting 14-year-old girls. Let me tell you what would happen if you did that with mine.
All right.
And God would forgive me too. I read this story years ago that this pedophile had gotten this little boy, he wasn't even a teenager, and had molested him. And the man got caught because he did it so many times, the man got caught. And so they were going to try the man. They were going to put him on trial, but the boy's father found out when they was going to try the man. And they don't have them anymore, but they used to have telephone booths. You remember telephone booths? I'm not talking about that little thing hanging on, Paul. I mean, when you walk in, pull the door shut. Super, like Superman, you know, where he went and changed clothes with all those windows. But anyway, I never did figure that out. But as this pedophile walked by going to get in the police car to go to trial, that father stepped out and shot him dead. Shot him dead. Now, I'm not saying I approve of that, but I'm saying this. That's the biblical punishment.
Right.
I know. Now, of course, Daddy went to jail for it. Daddy went to jail. But I think Daddy thought it was worth it. I think he weighed it, he thought it through, and he did it. Now, I'm not telling you to go shooting pedophiles, though they deserve it. Every time I read one in the paper, says they got 6 years or 10 years. I said, they ought have got the chair. They ought have got the chair. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. Even if they don't, God's righteous, God's holy, God's a God of vengeance, and payday's coming, buddy. Payday's coming. Now, me and you, we keep our mouth shut a lot. We don't say things sometimes. We don't fight back. We don't defend ourselves. But I've got news for you. I've got a Father in heaven who's defending me.
That's right.
And by the way, he's doing it right now. He's not waiting till the end of the world to do it. He's defending his children right now. And I just want to thank God. Verily, there's a reward for the righteous. One day, God's going to take away these people's possessions, and they're going to stand before the judgment of God, the great white throne, and God's going to judge them. Now, I can't judge whether or not you're going to heaven. I just have to go by what you say on your faith in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If you really believed on him, you got saved. But a lot of people say that, they're not saved. Amen. And boy, our churches are full of them, and they're destroying our churches. But thank God, I'm not one of them. I'm one of us. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I'm going to hide in him, buddy. I'm going to get behind him. I'm going to get under him. I'm going to get him around me until the calamities are passed, and he'll take care of me. Like a mother chick gets those little, that storm comes up. And I don't know if you ever seen them. If you never had yard chickens, she'll get those little chicks up under those. She'll take care of them. And that's the way God does us. He hides us under the shadow of his wings.
Yeah.
And let the heathen roar. Let them cuss. Let them fuss. God's the God of judgment. Payday's coming. Amen.
Yeah.
And I got news for you too. You and I, as children of God, he judges us. He judges us. But instead of destroying us, he chastens us.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 12 says God chastens every son whom he receives.
Yeah.
And he said, if you've not been chastened, you're not a son. You've been saved over a couple of weeks. The Lord's convicted you several times already. And then sometimes he just quits talking and starts whipping. Sometimes there's a time to stop talking and just start whipping. Amen. I can't stand it when I see parents just talking. I say, ain't it time to do some whipping? Amen. Now my mama, she used to, when I was a teenager, she found out whipping didn't bother me when I was a teenager, cause she wasn't big enough to hurt me. But she get to talking to me, talking about how disappointed she was. And just going on and on and on. Finally, I'd say, Mama, whip me. Please, Mama, just whip me. Stop talking. Just whip me, Mama. But I ain't never told God that. No, sir, I'm not telling him about it. I said, Lord, let's talk about this thing. Amen. Don't whip me, Lord. Let's talk about it some more. I can't take your whippings. Amen. I'll never get big enough where his whippings don't hurt. Amen. Because he knows just where to lay that stripe. Now he judges me. But he chastens me. He doesn't melt me like a slug. He doesn't cast me off like briars from under the pot. He doesn't cast me down to hell. He says, okay, son, you and I done talked. Now, come on, let's go in here. I got a belt. And you know what? I used to whip my children. I'd cry when I'd whip my children. And I think God probably pities us as much as we did our own children. Oh man, I'm glad I got a Heavenly Father. I'm glad I'm one of us now, not one of them. I used to be one of them, but thank God I'm now one of us. Amen. That trust Him, that love Him, that He defends and He protects and that He does the judging. And by the way, don't think that God don't see those people that's harassing you. He sees them.
Yes, sir.
Don't think he doesn't see that sorry boss man, boss lady. Don't you think he doesn't see those family members or those neighbors that's harassing you or so-called friends. God, hey, God's writing it down in a book right now. And sooner or later, judgment's going to fall because you're under his wings. Amen?
Amen?
So tonight, who are you? Are you one of us or one of them? Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, inspirational word, God.
Yeah.
God, thank you. This book liveth forever. I can open it up and you speak to me just like you spake to David there. Lord, I can feel your power, your presence, your love, your mercy, your grace. And I'm one of us, Lord. I cry out to you for mercy and forgiveness. I don't want judgment. And I've received your son as my savior and you've laid my judgment on him on that cross. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. But Lord, there's a lot of people out there that hate the church and they hate Christians. And Lord, we ain't ever done nothing to them. And there's some out there right now plotting, just making plans to hurt innocent people, righteous people. Lord, would you just smite them, knock them down. If you can save them, save them. Boy, it'd be a great testimony if they get saved. But Lord, if they're not going to get saved, just remove them. Get them out of the way. Would you do that, God? I'm not saying kill anybody. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. But I'm saying, would you protect your little chicks? Would you put us under the shadow of your wing and just get rid of those people? In our nation, in our churches, in our neighborhoods,
yeah.
Lord, in our personal lives. We've seen you do it before, Lord, and turn this country around, turn our churches around, turn this one around, God. We've got half the people won't even come to church anymore. Lord, they're living in fear of these wicked people. These wicked people's got them deceived, God. Stop it, Lord. Revive us again. But until you do, we're going to trust you. And we're going to keep going. And we're going to keep serving. And we're going to keep loving. And Lord, when we sin, we're going to keep confessing. We're not turning around. We're not going back. We're not quitting. We know you're still alive. You're still in control. Just give us some grace, Lord, that we can just keep going. And I know that down the road, might not be long. Might be after the election. I don't know. These people will see how they've been deceived and how these others have hurt them in their faith and in their walk. And they'll come back to church and they'll start serving you and others again instead of living selfishly. Help them, Lord. And then for that wicked crowd that would just kill babies and harm little girls and little boys, God, would you smite that crowd down? Our nations eat up with this stuff, God. Help us. And then, Lord, for the rest of this week, would you give us strength and courage to walk out there and be witnesses for you? in spite of the attacks, in spite of the those that would hurt us. Give us holy boldness. Open our mouths, Lord, and put words in them that we could speak to those that want to hear it. There's a lot of them out there, they want to hear it, God. Give us holy boldness this week. And let us come back rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on and sing song number
454. Page 454.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen.
Though